live from the Third Coast. It is our time to focus on where genealogy and spirit connect. A time to focus on our connection with ourselves and our past. Here's your host, Susan E. King.
Hello, everybody. It is another Tuesday, and I love Tuesdays, and I love being with y'all, and I love sharing some of my guests with y'all. We've had some really great hours on the show over the last 2 years. I believe we are celebrating our second anniversary, believe it or not, and I couldn't think of anybody that I would like to bring back and share with you than our guest today, Melissa Fry. She's probably one of the most intuitive, practiced, I don't know how to say it, mediums in that I know. I have studied with her, and she has been doing all kinds of wonderful things, and one of the things that we're going to talk about today, I think, I hope, is her new psychic university. And one of the things, too, I want to talk with her about is something that I think I had an epiphany last night doing what they call remote viewing, and this is something that Melissa is very attuned to. So, Melissa, welcome again.
Thank you so much. Happy two-year anniversary.
How about that?
It blows me away.
Me too.
It's like, where does time go? I made a post the other day on Facebook saying, man, time just goes by so fast.
But it seems to be moving a whole lot faster these days. And I don't know if it's, you know, in the stars or whether it's because I just keep getting older, you know.
But thank you. I love you and I love your show. So thank you so much for having me back.
So let's talk a little bit about your background. I mean, you've got your indigo cards for children. You've got your university. You've got the One to Listen. You've got your radio show. So let's talk a little bit about where you came from. And I also want to let people know that you are available to do some readings. Excuse me. And the phone number is 888-815-9756. So this is an opportunity to connect with Melissa today. And while we're going into a little bit of background about who she is and what she does. So
where
you're
should
on.
I start? Where do I start? No,
sometimes you can start at the beginning and sometimes you can start from now and work backwards. How about that? Your choice.
Well, you know what? It's crazy because it's funny because I'm actually in the process. Everybody's writing a book, but I'm actually in a process right now of trying to collect all of my stuff and all of my thoughts and talking about my life and because I do have so many different projects going on and so much of it stems from how I was raised, where I came from, and a lot of my life story. And so a lot of the stuff that I come up with is inspired by my past. You know, I had my first experience with spirits at age 7. And pretty much from that point on, you know, I had my whole, you know, secret make-believe friends. I used to sleep at night with all of my stuffed animals wrapped around the edge of my bed and to protect me. And, you know, I did all these things, but I didn't really have anything or anybody to tell me what it was. So I didn't grow up. I always sit there in awe of people who say that they had parents who helped develop their skills or who were open with their gifts, because it's just like, it's amazing. It's amazing to hear and experience that. But mine wasn't that way. So I had a pretty many different abusive things happen throughout my life and my childhood. And so I really learned how to disassociate and shut down those gifts. And I share really openly too. I got really heavily involved with drugs for a long period of time. I didn't get clean until I was 22 years old. I actually just celebrated 12 years in March.
Wow.
And so, you know, I really, people always say, you know, did you have these experiences? Did you have these experiences? And I was so numb by the pain, you know, that I just, it just wasn't a part of my life. There were no, like, coincidences that I could, you know, speak of. I just remember my whole life fighting for my life. I look at my life today. And it's like, and especially since I'm doing this writing, I look at my life today and I'm like, my God, I had somebody so far greater out there watching after me, because how I got here and I'm still living today is mind blowing. I mean, you know, I lived in South Texas and I used to cross the border, you know, and hang out in Mexico at, you know, the border towns, you know, 18 years old at 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to walk back from, you know, Boys Town, Mexico to the United States. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm still here. You know, like those things. And it really wasn't until I was 28 until I got, no, I'd say about 28 till I got reunited with my gifts. And it wasn't something I was looking for up until that point, Susan. I hadn't never had a reading from anybody. The metaphysical world was so a part of who, knew nothing about it. Nothing about it. I just knew about changing my life.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And I you and I share a lot of these things too. I didn't never had a drug problem, but you know, I had the same thing as a child. I had my spirits and my things that I used to connect with many, many people. As a child, and I disconnected too for a long, long, long time, and it was a near-death experience that I had 4 years ago that reconnected me with spirit. So, you know, we're all on a path, and all of us, you know, tend to gravitate in and out, and some people stay with it, some people have had it since birth, and like Melissa's saying, I mean, some of us, you know, get reawakened.
It's crazy because, you know, it's like I look at, you know, from 22 and on, just, you know, growing and changing my life and taking a look at my life and making those changes and healing a lot of my life experience that I had experienced. You know, I had all these different spiritual awakenings, you know, of things happening and things were starting to come alive. Things were making sense for the first time. And so, you know, I literally, how this all came back into my life, it was, you know, I would say an accident, right? But I mean, I had a neighbor, I was a stay-at-home mom, I just had my daughter, and I had a neighbor, and she started talking about channeling classes, and this is how, like, green I was. What's that? Never heard of it. Right? I mean, like, never. This is so, I mean, I watched John Edward a couple times, like, Crossing Over, whatever his show was, but it never really, like, it never spoke to me. It wasn't like, there was nothing there. People say, did you ever have premonition? Nothing. I had nothing. There was
right.
Nothing. You know, and so I take this, and she's like, you should really try and do this, you know, take this class. And so I was like, you know what, I think I'm going to. I talked to my husband about it, and I was like, you know, it'd be nice to just, like, you know, co-mingle with adults because I stayed home with my child.
Sure.
So I'm like, all right, I'll take the class. And honestly, I thought the class was the hokiest thing I'd ever sat through. first day. I did, because, it, you know, first of all, it's like, I mean, guides, for me, it was like, what's a guide? You know, or what's this, or what's that, and now we're going to close our eyes and connect, and, you know, and it was really hard, because it was the way the lady was teaching it, she's a great woman, but the way the lady was teaching it was like, okay, this is what we're going to do, this is how you're going to feel, and I didn't feel the way that she did, or the other students in the class. You know, it was hard. I was closing my eyes, and I'm like, I was supposed to give you a channeled message saying, dear child. And, you know, it was so far out there for me. And when I got home, my husband's like, are you going to go back tomorrow? And I was like, well, I paid for it. You know, I'm going to go back. And so I go back, and people are crying and having these moving experiences. And I'm like, what am I not getting? You know, I'm clearly missing something. And so I sit there and, you know, for the rest of the day, and it was still pretty hokey. And finally, at the very end, we had to read for each other. And so we sit there, and so I start reading, and all of a sudden, you know, I had to read for this one woman, and, you know, she was asking a pretty basic question, and then I was had to read for another woman, and all of a sudden she asks, so, you know, I'd like to know about my friend who passed away. And I was like, wow, okay. I was like, well, that, you know, that's serious. You can't make that up, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden I had this full body experience where it felt like something left my body, something took over my body, and I just started uncontrollably sobbing. I mean, just crying, couldn't stop. So the teacher kind of like wraps it up. I go home and I'm like, wow, I have no clue what that was. Well, I started getting visions of this woman. I started seeing like she was stabbed to death. I got like the number 62 and all these weird things started happening. And I told my husband, he's like, you need to call that lady. Something happened to you, you know? And so I called the lady. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I said, but I keep getting all this information. Well, she ended up contacting the lady who had, asked the question, and it turned out that her friend passed away. She was killed. She was stabbed to death 62 times and everything. And so basically, it was like the light switch just flips on, right? And it was like my interest was peaked, and so I just played with it and ran with it, and it just happened.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that happens to a lot of people. So, mm-hmm. you know, we do have a caller, Melissa, so why don't we take it and we can continue the rest of the story as we, you know, get more callers. So let's take Teresa from Minnesota on line two.
Okay.
Hi.
Teresa. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm great.
So hi, Teresa.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so excited to have the opportunity just to ask somebody else's opinion on things that are coming up for me. I'm experiencing a lot of, well, physical manifestations. I'm experiencing a lot of hives mm-hmm. right now.
Okay.
And, like, anger issues are coming up for me, and I just want a little bit more idea of what's going on with that.
Okay, so more about, like, some of the feelings that you're having and some of the extreme feelings that you're having. Is that what you're wanting to get a little clarity or where it's stemming from?
Yes.
Okay, Teresa. Well, the first thing that I get for you is that it definitely feels like it's a time of transition for you. I feel like that there's a lot going on for you, and I would love – what's your sign? Can I ask you what your sun sign is?
Yep. It's Cancer.
Cancer. Okay, so there's lots of changes right now going on for you, and it feels like mostly internal. Now, this is what I feel is triggering some of the stuff for you or the feelings for you. I feel like that it's been triggered by somebody or someone in your life, and I would say over the course of the past, like, 3 months, 6 weeks ago, like, I feel like there's a situation, I'm going to say as far back as 3 months ago, that happened with somebody, another person, and I feel like whatever happened around this person or the situation, and it could be something really mild, but I feel like it triggered a lot of emotions inside of you, a little bit deeper than you probably thought it did or had affected you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And so this is where, and I feel like the stuff that's being triggered for you right now is where it's really deep-rooted. And so I feel like the anger, the feelings, the emotions, everything that you have going on right now is not just from the current situations. I feel like you're feeling the stuff from whatever this person triggered inside of you, all of that stuff, okay? All the past stuff. Make sense?
Yes, it absolutely makes sense. I think a new relationship that I'm in has triggered some issues that I haven't maybe dealt with, but
yeah, this is what I feel for you. As far as how old is that relationship? I mean, how brand new is it?
Within months, 3, 4, 5.
3 months.
3 months. Okay. So, what you've got to do, Susan, stop. So, Teresa, what you need to do is I feel this is a great opportunity for you. Okay, because I feel like this is an opportunity for you to break your cycles, to break the stuff that's popping up for you. okay, in relationships, because the relationship feels good. You know, I feel like it's, there's nothing about the relationship where I feel like it's, you need to run and go the other direction. I feel like it's challenging you internally. What I feel is yeah. like you really to sit down and you've got to pinpoint it, because right now you've gone 0 to 60 and you have no idea what's driven you or what's made you angry or upset, or you don't know. It's too murky. The water's too murky. So we've got to try and go back to the zero to pinpoint what exactly has triggered you. So how do you do that? Go ahead. How you're going to do that is... Go ahead. Go ahead.
I guess what I wanted to know was... If you're saying what has triggered me this time around or what it's bringing up, I guess is what I want clarity on.
It's like a combination. It's what, you know, pinpointing, why are you feeling this way right now? Can you pinpoint the situation of why you're feeling the way you are feeling this way right now with this person?
Well, I know for sure that this person has brought up issues stemming from when I was younger, trying to please my father, trying to win approval and that kind of thing. And I see myself reacting out of these old habits, right, or these old ways. And I see the new ways and where I've acted and healed, you know, from there, how I want to behave and react out of, and I'm stuck in the middle of those two patterns.
Okay.
Is what I'm feeling.
So the first thing you have to do is you have to realize that you are not that person you were back then, okay? And so now it's about bridging that gap between that little girl and who you are today. So it's like in the relationship, it's like you've got to dissect what's being from the past. So the situation is you find yourself wanting to please this person, right? Or wanting, is that correct?
Yes, more or less. And it's not that they aren't completely happy and in love with who I am right now, and I don't have to change for them. I know this. It's
right.
This part of me that is feeling compelled to, I don't know.
Okay, so this is, and you don't mind me taking this long, do you, Susan?
Not at all. This is what the show's all about.
Okay. This is what I love. Okay,
I know.
So it is. It's what I'm born to do. No, it is. I just love this stuff. It's like this is the light bulb, Teresa, like that with the gifts, like what I was talking about with the self-discovery, all that stuff. This is like the light bulb that comes off. So this stuff is really, you know, comes on. So it's really exciting for me. So here's the deal. So the deal is for whatever reason you're wanting to please him, and regardless of what he's wanting, we don't care about that. We're just talking about you. You're having these feelings come up. You're having these feelings pop up to where it's like, you know, they're reminding you of how you were with your dad, okay? What I want to know is that what you've got to figure out, or you've got to say and have the awareness is that where is it coming from? What is he doing, or what has he said, or a smell, or a comment? What's the trigger in bringing you back to that place? That's what we got to find out. And the trigger, Teresa, could be something as simple as a smell, a comment, lighting, your surroundings. It doesn't have to be the other person. It can be your surroundings.
Right.
And do you know what it is?
I think, I'll just throw this out there and maybe you can get a sense of it, but there is quite an age difference, and my parents have quite a huge age difference, and so I see that, and I get scared. I get scared that I'm going to repeat some of those behaviors that I didn't necessarily grow up in the best, you know, with the very best role model for a relationship, you know?
Right.
And so that feels like my gut reaction to your question would be, obvious age difference, that's kind of a pattern. Also, our sun signs are exactly similar. My mother and my father's sun signs are my sign and his sign. So some of that stuff, you know, just the similarities are a little bit weird.
Okay.
Okay, fear equal so the- hives.
So, because it's okay. So, all right. So, this is the thing, is that it's like you're taking past experiences, right, and creating it into this experience because of the age difference, because of the sign stuff, and because of, you know, these other little things. But again, what I'm saying to you is that this relationship has nothing to do with anything from the past.
Right.
Don't do you know what I mean? Feel.
And so now it's like, what? Now we're going to take it even a step further and say, okay, so now you've got, Teresa's got her, your trigger, right? And there might be many more, okay? But we're just going to take like a simple thing. So the trigger is the age. We'll say the age difference and what you experience with your parents. Okay, so now with the age difference and all of that, and that seems like that's a trigger, well, what about your parents bothered you? List out all the things that with their age difference bothered you. What bothered you? Why did it bother you? And you'll list that out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because see, the whole key to this is bringing awareness, shining the light on the entire situation. Not taking an age difference or the signs are the same or, you know, he squints his eyes the way that this one person did back when this happened. Or, you know, like those aren't realistic things. They're irrational things. They're irrational thoughts, irrational. You got to see what's real and what's not real. And the only way you're going to find out what's real and what's not real is by listing it out. So now I want you to sit down and say, okay, so the age thing, we'll take the age thing. What's going on with the age thing? What about your parents?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I think that's probably, I mean, if I want to, that just the metaphysical knowledge that I have and how that affects the body and thinking about that and then the hives thing, you know what I mean? That totally... there's a connection right there.
Yeah, we tend to overthink things that are bad patterns. And, you know, if the relationship feels good, then, you know, then you've got to get out of the head.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Exactly.
It's hard. It's one of the hardest things to do. Or, you know, detach from those thoughts. And those repeated patterns.
Thank you so much, you too.
You're quite welcome.
Bring the awareness, because it's like having the awareness and knowing where the feelings and the emotions are coming, and now the validation that it's from this new relationship from 3 months ago, that this is where it's all stemming from. Now you at least have a plan of attack and how to approach it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you know, this kind of leads me, Melissa, into your university. Mm-hmm. Because you are offering classes for people like Teresa and me and all
mm-hmm.
kinds
I
of
am.
People. And, you know, that might help them work through some of these things. So let's talk about that for a little bit. And again,
yeah.
We are taking calls. Number is 888-815-9756. So go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. No, because, you know, it's like all this stuff. It just, you know, And going back to just even like just saying real quickly too, to tie it into the university is you know, I ran with it and I did it. I didn't read books. I didn't seek out any type of training or anything like that. And my biggest reason why at that time is because I was so afraid, because I can be a chameleon. I can mold and mask myself to fit anything. But I also can beat myself up, because if I see this is how you do something and I can't do it, I'm such an all or nothing person, I'll be like, forget it. I'll walk away. So it's really important for me to let myself just kind of go where I needed to go and experience things. But with doing that comes a lot of ups and downs and, you know, stepping in my own foot, you know, putting my foot in my mouth with clients, because I didn't deal with clients. I knew nothing about the metaphysical world. And so it was like, you know, talking to people that were, you know, I never thought really religious people with religious backgrounds, strong beliefs, would ever come see a medium or a psychic. And they do. You know, and so me starting to talk about reincarnation to somebody who's a Baptist doesn't really fly so well. So it's like, you know, you know, but you, so you just start, you know, it's like I learned the hard way. And so when the idea came about my university, because I did a lot of mentoring for people one-on-one, and my whole thing is that, you know, a lot of times what happens is that light bulb switch goes off at whatever. And sometimes it takes somebody triggering it. Sometimes it takes somebody to just, you know, poke it open or whatever the case is. But what I found is that it's like it's so hard to say, okay, Susan, you know how I work. You've worked with me privately, you know, where I say, Susan, you know, this is how we're going to do it, and this is what we're going to do. It doesn't work like that. I mean, you can try to do it that way, but then you're going to be the person, like, you might be the person like I was sitting in the channeling room, like, oh my goodness, I'm not getting it, right?
Right.
But the reality was I was getting it, but I was getting it for how it works for me. And that's what I stem, that's where my teaching comes from, is I don't teach you my method. Because what works for me might not work for you. So my courses are designed to find and figure out what your method is, what you shine. It's funny, Susan, because every student I've ever had is an empath. Every student. First question I always ask everybody, are you an empath? Yes. I'm not. I think it's hilarious, you know, where it's like, you know, I'm like, wow, when do I get to have somebody who's not? I get all these, you know, great, sensitively emotional taking on stuff, you know. But, and so it's like, you know, that's like a byproduct of saying, you know, if I'm having all these empaths, what works for me is really not going to work for them. It's just not. They got to go that extra step. You got to go that extra step in clearing yourself. And where I don't, I'm like, have your emotions, have your feelings, because I don't got time for them, you know. And so that's kind of, and my university will actually be 1 year old in June already. I know.
And you know, because I had you on the show, it was actually May 11th of last year. And today is May 10th. So pretty interesting.
Was it really?
Yes.
Really? Yes.
So it was before the university came on.
Oh, interesting. Was I in Mexico?
No, you're still in Albuquerque.
No, then it must have been longer than that. Because I moved to Mexico last April.
Ah.
Was it 2008? I bet you it was 2008.
Maybe it was 2009.
2009.
Yeah.
Maybe it was right in the beginning.
Interesting.
I know.
Interesting.
So I've known you for 2 years.
I know. A while.
But anyways, I do, you know what, I teach a psychic intuitive course, which is a 6-week course. I teach a mediumship course, which teaches you, you know, mediumship with six weeks, and I have certification programs. I'm now teaching psychometry, and everything is over teleclasses. Obviously, I'm in the Yucatan, Mexico. I'm actually working my way back to Albuquerque, so I should be back in the States in June, and then I'll start teaching in person again. But everything right now is through teleclasses.
So, you know, my epiphany last night, having, you know, when we were working on some of the things we were working on, is I did, I went to a class last night that I do on Monday nights, and they have different people. Yes, guess. And the individual was talking about remote viewing. And the more we did some exercises, and it was very interesting because I was right on pretty much all three exercises. And when I go back to some of the things that you and I were doing together, you know, I started thinking last night that maybe what I was doing more and looking at my notes was more the remote viewing than the mediumship stuff. And that was my epiphany last night.
I love it. You know, because remote viewing, Susan, is such a huge part of mediumship, and it's such a huge part of anything you want to do. I actually started doing, I teach classes now with remote viewing, too.
Right. And I think, I you know, for me, you know, in looking back over what you and I worked on, it seems that I keep going into that remote viewing. Now, remote viewing, as I understand it, is you can view in the future or you can view in the past, which is really, you know, my work in genealogy.
Exactly.
Is, you know, really, and I find that this is what I do in my work with my cases, is I literally, you know, when I attach to a census record or a birth record or a death record, you know, as I literally go into movies of, you know, the images of these people that were, what was going on in their lives at the time of these documents. And I, you know, it's really not mediumship. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where, you know, I was, you know, regrouping and trying to figure out what it is that I do.
Well, that's, yeah, and that's a huge thing, too, because being able to be in the place or be able to remote view and go into, you know, the past situations for what you do, and I do, too. I mean, I do when I do my missing persons cases, you know. That's what I do. I remote view. That's, you know, that's like I go back into that place. I mean, I've got some crazy, I mean, this stuff is so mind-blowing, and you need to know, you probably know, I am not woo-woo. There is nothing woo-woo-y about me, or, you know, I'm a skeptic in nature, hands down. I'm like the prove-it kind of person. I would be my worst client is what I would be. I would be like the person that I would tell myself to go. But, you know, I'm like the prove-it person, and remote viewing is mind-blowing. And so you being able to utilize what it is with you do with your genealogy and going to those places is a huge epiphany, because that's the stuff where it's going to put you into those places that you'll be able to identify those records a lot more clear. And now you've got to just bring that all together.
Exactly. So we're going to talk after the show. Yeah, I mean, and it's taken me, what, almost 9 months.
But you know what, though?
Review and to figure out where I was.
Right.
And, you know, because I go back and I look at the notes on the exercises that you and I did, and it was not mediumship, it was remote viewing. I could identify the rooms, the pictures. I mean, you know, I could describe everything in a particular place. But it wasn't as much the connecting with the person, which is really what the mediumship is, as it was connection with the events and places and the time.
But you know what, too? It totally makes sense, because even with Teresa, the lady who called in, too, like even remote view, it's such a huge power. So for you, I'm getting excited now, so follow me. There, I do. You should see me. I'm like standing here with my little headset on. I'm standing here with my headset on and pacing back and forth, talking with my hands. If we only had videos, it would be hilarious. But the thing is that, like, for you and being able to use this with your genealogy and your research and everything you do, for Teresa, the woman who called, like, being able to use this stuff and going back to those places and visiting those places and being able to head some of that stuff straight on. I mean, this stuff is life-changing. It's not just one-dimensional in how you get to use it. You can utilize it in any area of your life.
Exactly.
So, I, you know, I think that's exciting for you. And you know what? I mean, taking the 9 months, everybody has their own pattern. I mean, everybody has their own experience, and you cannot judge your experiences. Like, when I first started doing this work, I was only a medium. If I would have gotten a caller or somebody like Teresa who would have contacted me, I would have said, no, I don't do that. I do mediumship. If I would have had somebody who called me for a psychic reading or anything like that, I didn't do that. And then all of a sudden one day, because I was afraid to, you know, because what worked for me was the mediumship. It's the thing that was my first click, and it's what worked for me. And so it was like all of a sudden one day I stopped having mediumship appointments. It's like they all just stopped.
Right.
Nobody called me. All of a sudden, everybody calls me. They all want a psychic reading. And by the 10th person, it's like you can't turn that down. It's like, okay. I started doing it and then realizing, you know, how much more. It's not just a fortune-telling psychic reading. It's about intuitively looking into the situation, telling somebody, you know, what's their best probable outcome, but also the tools and how to get there and help them achieve that, you know. And then it was, I didn't do pet readings. Then all of a sudden everything stopped. And what happens? Everybody calls for a pet reading, you know? So it's like it all ties together, but you've just got to let it click.
And you know, and I think the most important thing that you just said is the guidance. I mean, you know, a psychic can, you know, always say, well, you know, this is going to happen to you in, you know, in 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. But, you know, or this is what happened to you and you know, validate a situation. But the key is being able to use the information to make yourself whole and to heal and, you know, to and I've had a lot of healers on the show because I think healing is something that's very big right now. And, you know, in many, many ways. I mean, it's healing, you know, the physical. Teresa had physical manifestations of a, you know, a spiritual healing issue.
Right.
Or emotional healing issue.
Right.
It all comes into view. And, you know, I think that the understanding what one can do to help heal themselves is very important. I mean, what is the old saying that, you know, those who survive are those that know how to help themselves. Mm-hmm. And if we don't teach our, you know, if we don't have the tools and the people like yourself who are willing to go out there and help us help ourselves, then, you know, it's a totally different thing.
Well, it's about two, and I just want to say, because now this just reminded me of something else that I have, too, that I offer, is that I sell, I have, like, for sale, it's called the Shadow Report, and it's all about the shadow self, and what I basically do is you say, and it's like a 17-page, like, intensive report. And what it is basically is you sit down and you'll pinpoint like an area. So let's just say you're not able to maintain relationships. Okay. Can't maintain relation, not you specifically, but somebody says that's the area. No, I won't expose you. But I can't, you know, somebody says, you know, I can't maintain, for some reason, I can't maintain a love relationship. Okay, or relationships. That's the area they want to focus on. Well, the shadow self, I mean, you're familiar with the shadow. The shadow is all about, you know, that other part of ourselves that's slowly created over time from birth, right? So it becomes our alter ego. It becomes the person that, you know, the shadow self that might do things that you might not want to do, might put that dark cloud over you. It becomes that part of you that can either be your darkest dark self. But what we want to try and do is put a light and shine a light on that shadow part of you so your shadow self can be united with you. So there isn't that distinction between the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You two can become one. So like in the report, what I basically do is we take a look at, and it's a completely all intuitive, you literally, it's an email question where you sit there and say, this is the area I want to focus in on. I basically at that point take a look at all the things that I feel trigger and have created that part of you and why, what the core issues are, whether it's a relationship with your mother, your father, or a specific love relationship. I dissect everything. And then from that point, then I talk about different situations and how you show up and how you perceive the world. And then we talk about how the world perceives you based on these things. So basically, the whole thing is about shining light and talking about specific things a lot, like we talked about with Teresa, and shining the light so that way that pattern can stop. And then for the next 30 days, then we talk about different things like remedies as far as affirmations and things that we can do together to be able to heal that part of you so you can stop having issues with maintaining relationships or whatever the case is that you have an issue with. But you can see a sample and everything. It's over on my website, melissafry.com, under services. And then you can see like a sample report of what it'll look like. It's also under my 12listen.com. If you pull up my name over there and email-based services, you can pull it up. But it really coincides with all this stuff, the shadow report.
So let's give out the website again because I may have overstepped you on that one.
That's okay. I just redid my website. Hey, you know what? I just redid my website.
I saw it.
Yeah, I did. And I'm not done. I got three really huge surprises that are going to be coming up. Cool. So I have, it's Melissa Frey, MelissaFrey.com. So I have that. And then over there, you can pretty much find everything that I do and see my upcoming guests, readings, everything that I offer. If you have a missing person, an active thing, that's the only type of reading that I do completely free of charge, but there's a form on my website that I ask you to fill out. So if you do have something, and then I'm over at 12listen.com, which I've been there now for 2.5, almost 3 years, which has been absolutely amazing. And I do readings. All of my readings are done through over there on 12listen.com and my radio show and classes. And it's like I'm a 409 all-purpose cleaner. Because then I was thinking, you don't even know this. I don't even know if you know this, but I started a 12-step program.
No.
I was like, oh, we haven't talked for so long.
I know. Well.
Oh, so I'll have to tell you more about that. But yeah, I'm just redoing some vamping on that right now.
That's great. Again, let me give out the number if you don't want to call 12listen.com and want to get a reading from Melissa. Number is 888-815-9756. This is an opportunity. You don't want to miss it. You mentioned psychometry.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Oh, I love psychometry. Psychometry, the idea behind psychometry is if you can think every single thing is energy, right? I mean, down to the Bic pen that I have in my hand. Everything has energy. Everything, right. Everything that has gone, like the we'll take the pen in my hand right now, you know, all the places that it's gone or anybody who's touched it has left basically an imprint on the pen, okay? So what psychometry is being able to do is being able to look at the object or look at the items or look at the things and read the energy of where it is, where it comes from, and being able to tell its story. So in psychometry, you know, I do psychometry just to read items. Some people like to use them in their readings. I'm not a big fan of it, but that's just me. But a lot of people like to hold items when they're doing mediumship readings or like to have items when they're doing missing people work or psychic. So that's why, you know, that's a form of psychometry. I just like reading the items. And, you know, the coolest item I ever read for was, I asked your help on it, actually. I don't know if you remember this. It was over a year ago on the banjo.
Right.
Yeah, I read a banjo, and it was like one of the first, like, I don't know, it was crazy. It was like one of the first banjos that were made from the series of, I don't know how many years, it was crazy. But this guy brought his banjo in and just wanted to know the story. I know nothing about banjos. Banjos are definitely not in my, you know, I've never studied them, I'll just say that. It's not my thing. But so I start talking about, this is wild, I start talking about the banjo and I start talking about this like story, and this guy looks at me and he's like, oh my God, he's like, are you sure you don't know about banjos? And I was like, no, I was like, I don't know anything about a banjo. What I basically just told him was the whole history and how the banjo was actually designed and developed. And the concept of the banjo came to life.
I do remember that. I remember I referred you to somebody.
Yeah, because he wanted to find out if the company and stuff like that. And I don't know what happened to him. I don't know. I'll have to find out when I go back to Albuquerque. But, you know, so a lot of times people will buy stuff at garage sales or Goodwill or pick up things or get them inherited. And lots of times people have really funky things that happen, such as, you know, they might have a bunch of spirits in their house, or they might feel depressed, or different things might happen. And a lot of times the first thing I'll say is, you know, did you get a new object or something like that? Because you have to remember, and I have a story. You want me to tell a story?
Sure. I love your stories.
This is how crazy you know, it can, how powerful items can be. And I don't know if I've ever told you this one, but I had a lady call me up one time and she said that she was hearing voices in her head and she was having all this stuff going on. And I'm really conservative. And so I talked to her about, you know, if she had seen a doctor and to rule out any type of mental illness or anything like that. And she had, and so I was like, okay. And she's like, you know, it's crazy. She's like, I don't know what this is. And she's like, can you please come over? So after this, you know, the time had gone by and I went over to her house and I was sitting there and the first thing I noticed is she had all these mirrors in her living room and they were all facing each other. Well, that's like a rule number one is like, don't have mirrors facing each other in your house, you know, and she's got all these mirrors because what it does is it creates this like energy vortex and it allows, the people say it allows spirits to, you know, like a portal, creates a portal. If there's any type of energy in there that isn't serving or good, it will keep you trapped there. So lots of different things. And so she has these mirrors, and so she's like talking. She's got journals upon journals of what these people say in her head. I mean, it's wild. I mean, I would honestly like say she was schizophrenic, but she was like literally cleared from the doctor. This is how, you know, intense this was. So finally, I was like, okay. And I was like, well, let's get rid of the mirrors. Well, then finally I was like, you know, these mirrors feel really old to me. And I start touching them and I start getting all these flashes. And I start, these mirrors start telling me stuff. Well, make a long story short, the mirrors, there was this old hotel in Albuquerque and they shut it down for prostitution, murders, you know, the whole drugs.
Right.
All this stuff. So they basically closed it down. Well, her boyfriend went and took all these mirrors because he had a buddy who worked there from this hotel where all these murders and prostitution and drug stuff. So the mirrors in their living room were from this hotel. So imagine the energy. So the energy and the people she was tapping into and the spirits were women who died in these hotel rooms or people who died or that what they experienced in these hotel rooms. So the imprint on this mirror, on the mirrors, basically created this vortex in her home. As soon as the mirrors were gone and they were disposed of and cleared out and everything like that, it was like everything went away just like that. Gone.
So, I mean, so, you know, yeah, we hear about these things when people bring antiques into their houses and things like that. So, you know, it's almost kind of a wise idea to kind of go through all the energy and all the things in your house, and that's when they say to clean out.
Well, and that's the thing, too. It's like anybody can do psychometry, you know, and it's a very, very good thing, you know, and that's why I had a lot of people start saying, you know, can you teach it? And it's really an easy technique. I mean, it's not that it's difficult at all. It's just about, you know, learning something new or doing something different. But with psychometry too, it's like, you know, being able to look at it. And if you do get something, to smudge it and to clear it or to, you know, clear it or have the information and know where it's from. Because it does. I mean, the imprints that objects carry are crazy.
And what about pictures? Because I use pictures a lot, and I kind of maybe do the same thing. I just didn't know what I was doing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Old pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, anything that's going to have something on it, pictures, anything, it's going to tell you a story. And so it's just really key in like holding on to that picture and just being like, okay, and just sitting with it and just see how it makes you feel, you know, and start. And it's like the thing you've got to remember, though, is every time it starts creeping in saying that you're crazy, you got to just kind of just shut it off and go with it and just do what you, you know, let it speak to you and however it does.
Yep. Because, you know, I mean, I find that the pictures, yeah, and I always ask clients if they have any pictures to send them.
Mm-hmm. They do. They help.
Yes, they do help. And then they help in ways that you really, sometimes you don't really know what you're doing. You don't really call it psychometry, but you're picking up information and then, you know, you're using that intuitively and I guess maybe subconsciously to, you know, work through a, you know, a case is what I do. It's, you know, kind of weird, but.
But, you know, this, I'll tell you this too. I mean, for those people out there that, you know, are listening and, you know, and are coming into this stuff or wanting to experience it, I do like pretty much daily daily exercises over on my Facebook fan page, my like page, whatever you want to call it. And so over there, you can go on there, and that's facebook.com, Melissa Fry Medium. And there's, and I do weekly giveaway contests, but learning and teaching you how to tune into your own stuff and your own gifts.
That's cool. We've got another caller, and okay. I'm not sure. I don't know what's with Minnesota today. we got another caller from Minnesota, and I think it's Lois. It's probably Lois.
Hi.
So welcome, Lois, to the show.
Thank you.
How are you?
Hi, Lois.
Not too bad. I guess my question is if Melissa has any thoughts on, I've had health problems for a number of years, and I kind of started after my mom passed away. And initially I thought, okay, I'm just going to get better. Then I thought, okay, I'm supposed to learn all this stuff to help other people. But it's taking a long time. So
okay.
It's like there's a resistance or something. I don't know. I was just curious if you had any thoughts.
Can I ask you? Oh, I love Virgo. I'm a Virgo, too.
Me, too.
Virgos are the best. So I'll just say that. You're the best.
Well, thank
we'll
you.
Just leave it at that. You're welcome. No. No. Okay. So, can I ask you if you've been like, if you've been technically diagnosed with anything or labeled with anything?
Well, when I first got sick, I was first they said there was nothing wrong with me, and I go through many different tests, and then I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia.
Okay. Okay. The reason why I'm asking you that is because it feels like that it's almost like, and you can totally correct me if I'm wrong, okay?
Okay.
Because what it feels like is that I feel like that there is something there that whether it's more of an emotional thing for you as well too. So whether it's about going through bouts of depression or other things like that as well as like a physical diagnosis too, which I'm sure, I don't know very much about fibromyalgia, but I'm sure depression does probably play a hand with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like right now where you're at is it feels like you're doing all the things that's necessary and you're doing all of the things that you need to be doing to take care of yourself. But I feel like that if I look at you, it feels like that where you feel stuck or it feels like that you're not able to get out of is that it's like almost become an uncomfortable thing. Does that make sense? Like it's like what you know. Like you've lived in this space for a little while now, and it's like it's what you know. And so it's now about readapting and retraining yourself into having a different experience. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does it? Okay. So it's like now it's about just trying to have like that different experience. Because I don't see anything with you with like, you know, physically you feel like good. You feel like you've really made some serious improvements. Now it's about getting that emotional part of you back into alignment and bringing yourself back out there. And I keep getting like there's a sense of something that you've been wanting, like a project or an idea or something that you've had on the back burner where it's just been a thought and it feels like it's an honor or something to do in relationship with your mother. But there's something back there that I feel like bringing that to the forefront and doing something in honor or doing something around that will bring a lot of peace and it'll bring a lot of peace to you, and it's really important. Does that make sense?
I guess I can't think of anything, but I'll think
sit with it and just sit with it because it's something that I feel like there's something that you've got to bridge a gap to, right? And it feels like whatever it is with your past experience or with her, and it feels like around your mom, definitely. I feel like if you can unite those two or do a project or create something to shift that energy, to get that energy going, it's like just get it going, doing something, it'll move you in that direction.
You know, it's interesting you bring this up because, you know, my mother died when she was fairly young and it's been 20 some odd years now. But one of my biggest creations in, you know, thus far in my life was, you know, this internet website for Jewish Gen that's still around. And it was, you know, in 1992 that I really, after my mother's passing, that I really dedicated my life for that. And the thing just grew and grew and grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. But it was really interesting that you bring that up. So, Lois, you know, maybe there is something that you might want to do, because it helped me heal, and okay. It helped me dedicate something, you know, that I really did, you know, in her blessed memory, even though, you know, I really didn't do anything specific for her. It was just something that I did that mm-hmm. It was a project that I did, and I really got involved right after her passing.
And maybe, question.
Sure.
When this comes brought up through different readings I have had, and, you know, I've pretty much tried anything, it did come up that I was also the incarnation of my grandmother. So I'm not sure if there's a connection between that was a very bad relationship between my mother and my grandmother. Mm-hmm. So if indeed that's true and I am the reincarnation, is there something with that relationship that needs to be healed yet?
You know, it's a touchy one for me to say on that, because I feel like that things around that and like the healing, it's like they get healed, and it's like, and I feel like that we're actively working on whatever needs to be healed. Have you had like a really true, like one on like a private healing medium session with your mom?
No.
That's probably the first step that I would probably direct you in. And like okay. doing something like that then, because I feel like the tie, and I don't know, you know, I feel like the tie is really with her. And I feel like the tie and starting to open up that communication or that dialogue, or, and it's when you feel ready, right? You might not feel ready right this moment, and you might, mm-hmm. it might take you a couple of weeks or a couple of months, but I feel like that would be the first step, because I feel like what's going to happen, and I'm going to be blunt and bold, is that I feel like that trying to grasp or grab things to label it or make it okay or give it a reason. Does that make sense? Like, if I can say that it's this, then that explains that. It's the Virgo mind. I mean, I'm a Virgo, right? I mean, it's like the whole idea behind, if I can have an explanation or a reason why I'm having this or why I'm experiencing it, well, then it all makes sense because I can logically think it through, okay?
And I would say, so, excuse me, I would say that's how I am.
Right.
Okay,
and
I analyze things.
Yeah. Right. So it's like, if I could say to you, Lois, that yes, this is because you're the incarnate of your grandmother, and they had a tumultuous relationship, and now you're healing something out, and you're healing and you're purging, then you could go on and say, okay, then yeah, that feels right, and I'll take that, and I can analytically believe that. But the problem with that is, though, Lois, is that it's not going to get different, because in a couple of months, it's going to creep up again. Right? And that's probably what's happened for you is that it's probably, you know, you've had a reading or had some insight and it kind of made sense or put a Band-Aid on the situation and you got some clarity, and then all of a sudden, maybe 2, 3, 4 months later, something else pops up and then you feel like you've taken 10 steps back. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so,
do you do that type of a reading then?
I do, sweetheart, I do. And you know what? Okay. Why don't you can email me, and it's melissa@melissafry.com. And you know, you're more than welcome to email you, and I can, and we can do something around that and set up an appointment. But I really feel like that's you taking and taking the reins and the driver's seat, and you having that communication with her. That's where the healing starts, instead of trying to make something fit or make a label onto something, because it's going to just continuously keep popping up.
Okay.
And I don't know who Delilah or something with a D name is, but there's a Delilah that keeps, and it's like a, it's a weird, like I wanted to say Daphne at first, but I'm like drawn towards Delilah, but a D name around you.
Any ancestors?
Susan's like, let me do your history.
Not that I'm thinking.
It's
right
weird.
Up,
yeah, it is like so, like, been screaming at me. And it's
really?
Like, and it makes me, because it came into my mind. So you sit with it and think of it. And when you email me, you let me know. But the thing of it is, what's really funny is all of a sudden when Susan was talking, I was sitting there and I was singing that, you know, her radio show that she has that's all through, you know, Delilah, the nighttime, you know, I don't know, show that she has on the radio. Do you know what I'm talking about, or am I being crazy right now?
I think you're being crazy. I don't
no,
have any.
I swear to God,
I'm not familiar
her.
With it, but
okay.
Interesting.
But anyways,
well, thank
yeah,
you
so
very
it
much.
So it kept singing. So you got to tell me who Delilah is.
Wow.
Okay. Just think. Just sit with it. And
I
just
will.
Say
I will ask for help on that one.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Lois.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Interesting.
Can I say something really quickly? Because I know we're almost out of time.
Yeah, we're almost out of time, but you're welcome, and we're not pushed at this hour.
Okay. Okay, so the thing that I want to say, too, is that I'm a really big person. Like, Lois, it takes a lot of courage because it's, like, a lot of times, like, just being really bold and, you know, trying to say, you know, having reasons, you know, having reasons for whatever's going on in our life and being able to label that or being able to say that. And that's something that I know, not because I'm, you know, a psychic or an intuitive or a medium, it's through personal experience again, you know. If I could label myself as this, well, then it makes it easier, but it's only the Band-Aid. And that's why I'm a real big person on the root of the problem.
Right, because, you know, most, I think most health issues and are called by being, you know, not at ease with something, and it could be a, you know, a very emotional or spiritual level, and you know, having almost died because of that issue,
right?
You know, I seem to be a little bit more in tune to that, and knowing that there's something that you got to fix, you know, and whether it's something in your past or something in your present. You know, at the time, I think it was really more in my present than it was in my past.
Mm-hmm.
So, in any event, you know, we were getting, you know, the notice from the producer if there's anybody that wants to give us a call. If not, we will close the show. We'll give you a few minutes to call in if you want a reading that we aren't tied 100% to the schedule today, which is...
I'm a woohoo!
Well, so the phone number, I've just kind of done my graffiti all over it, but let's see if I can read it. 888-815-9756. So here's a chance to have a reading with Melissa. And if not, we will have her back soon, I hope, and kind of wrap the hour, which is a little over an hour now. So...
I'll tell you this too, and I will. I want to tell you what I'm gonna be launching, and I'll totally just say it on your show if you'd like to know.
Absolutely.
On my website. Okay. All right. So I haven't said it anywhere. So this will be the first.
All right.
Okay. So here's the deal. So the first thing that should be going up, and it should be going up at some point here this weekend, so I'm really, really excited about it, is that, you know, I created and designed that deck of spirit cards for Indigo Kids.
Yes.
And they're an Oracle set card from, there's another Minnesota person.
I know. What is it?
I don't know. Minnesota, they're my people.
I don't know. We are just attracting Minnesota people today. Finish your cards, and then we'll bring Peggy on.
Okay. Sorry. I just saw that. I was like, wow. That's okay. So the deal is that one of the things that I do with the cards is I'm creating a whole online oracle.
wonderful.
And so there will be a whole online oracle, so you'll be able to pick and choose the cards and do daily messages of the cards and all that stuff. So that's one thing that I'm doing, and then I could tell you what the next thing is after Peggy.
After Peggy. All right. Peggy, welcome to the show. What's with Minnesota today?
Yay, Minnesota.
I know.
Is it cold in Minnesota?
No, it's 80 degrees today. Beautiful in Minnesota. It's unusual.
Nice. But none of the callers have had like that true what I think of a Minnesota accent.
Oh, I heard it.
You did?
Oh, yes. All of them.
Really?
Yes.
I guess I think of like Fargo. Have you ever seen Fargo?
No.
Have you, Peggy?
Yes, we're not like that. Not all of us.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank goodness.
I'm starting to feel crazy here, Peggy. Nobody knows Delilah. Do you know Delilah, the radio show?
I do not. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I'll find it, and I'm going to post it on your wall, Susan, so I'm not that crazy.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Peggy, from Minnesota.
Is it just a question? I'm not sure.
Sure. Yeah. Do you have a specific question or anything that you would like me to look at or any ancestry stuff Susan can do?
If you would like to look at something for me for the future, I've been told many times that I'm out across the world and speaking and doing different engagements, and if that's something that you also see, if it's coming up soon, if there's something I need to do to facilitate that.
Okay. All right, so taking a look at, just to clarify, just taking a look at you being like a speaker, traveling, locating, and moving around the world, that type of stuff, facilitating? Like courses, type, classes?
Yes.
Something
energy
along
healing,
the line?
I think, more than anything.
What is that, sweetheart?
It's the type of frequency or vibration that I carry.
Okay. What I get for you around that is I feel like that's I feel like you going around the world, I definitely, or you know, going and speaking or doing that kind of stuff, I definitely feel that that's something that will be happening for you. I feel like that there's some things that need to like fall into place for you. Like I feel like there's some projects or some things that you've got to do right now to almost like get them in order before that takes off and happen. Are you like in the process right now of like completing something or completing like some type of a project? Because I feel like you're wrapping something up.
Well, I've been at the same job for 21 years, so maybe that's it.
Okay, because it
and
feels
it has
like
nothing
whatever
to do with the work I'll be doing.
No, because it feels like whatever the energy it is, it feels like you're wrapping something up. You're concluding a cycle. You're concluding the project. You're just wrapping it up. As that happens and as that closes down, then this new gets to open up. So it's more than going on about you of what you have with this, what we'll call it, your job that you've been at. As that closes down, the other one opens. So it's like to give you a time frame or a timeline, it's really up to you. It's like as soon as that's completed, it's like the other opens. Does that make
sense?
Is it
something I'm supposed to step away from first before the other will open? I've always had the intention that the other, what I'm supposed to be doing, is just going to happen.
Well, okay, with footwork. I mean, I definitely feel like there's still some things, though, around that I feel like have to still get done or be put in alignment. Were you going to say something, Susan?
Have you been doing some of this work off, you know, outside of your regular job? And
oh,
you've
I've
been kind
always did the earthwork, traveling. I travel a lot, have in the past, and there's things that happen when I go, but not in front of people. It's just been going on my own to sacred sites in different places.
Right, but I mean, have you been developing anything, you know, that will tie in what you want to do and the speaking engagements with, you know, traveling around the world and doing it? I mean, it's a...
I don't
believe
it'll be
hand.
Speaking. It's going to be something more with my eyes and healing.
Okay. So the deal, so what I feel honestly, Peggy, is that it, I feel like that with this being said, with you and with your putting the closure to the job, I feel like you need to like step out there and have some of that blind faith and start putting and funneling that energy into it and moving in that direction, because I feel like there's like a little bit of a lag there. So I'm not saying like you have to go and leave your job and be done with your job of 20 years. I'm saying what you need to do now is start putting this energy into this other stuff so that way it can fully open. Because it feels like you have 1 foot over there and 1 foot over there. And so now you've got to allow it to just fully come in so that way you can start cultivating it. And it will start opening up.
Okay.
So it's more about you making that affirmation of saying, I'm ready, here we go. Like, because I literally see that it could happen as soon as 2 months, start happening for you as soon as 2 months. It's just about you acknowledging and saying, let's go. I'm ready to go.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Let's do it. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome.
So,
the other drum roll.
Yes, the other drummer. I got totally sidetracked. I was like, what are you talking about? Okay, so the other thing. So I'm doing this cool oracle. I'm really, really excited about that. The other thing that I'm going to be doing, I'll save the big one for last. The other thing I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be having a complete online store. And in this online store, I'm totally branding the Indigo Kid cards. So you can buy t-shirts for kids, and you can pick out your favorite card, whichever one is your favorite card, whether it's like the B card. And, you know, so there's 22 cards you can choose from. So you could buy t-shirts, you could buy baby blankets, you could buy anything.
Cool.
A complete online store. Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
You're amazing.
I know, it's exciting. It's fun.
It is.
I know. I love it. And, you know, thank you. And this is the last thing. And this is like, it's more about me just getting it all done. And so if anybody has any suggestions or any input, I would love them. But I'm creating an online forum. And the forum is completely free of charge. There's no charges, nothing. It's completely free and open to anybody who wants to participate. The only requirement is it's going to be a mediumship board. It's going to be connecting with loved ones board. And there's going to be, in each of the different sections and forums are going to be locked. So you have to be able to fit into that category. Okay, so for example, I'm going to have parents who've lost children category. And so it's going to be a safe place of like-minded people who get to be able to interact in a healthy manner, a spiritual, metaphysical type manner of parents getting together in this forum. And then I have, in each of the different forums, I have fun things and different things that I've created just for each of these groups of categories. And then I have one for people who've lost their parents or people who've lost in a tragic loss. And so I just have all these different categories so people can get together, people who want to develop their gifts and, you know. So, yeah, it's going to be this whole forum
thingy.
I'm excited about it. It's fun. It is.
You remind me of me when I was your age.
You know what? It's crazy because you get all these ideas and it's like, you know, I sit there and because, you know, creating and thinking and being like, okay, and I started this whole new other thing on my website, my Dear Melissa column, where people can privately, you know, submit questions and I pick one. I got a really cool question that I'm going to be answering this week.
Cool.
You want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
I'm just processing all these wonderful ideas.
I know, and I'm like talking a mile a minute here. But you know what? It's easy because I get, you know, I get excited and I absolutely, absolutely love what I do. So here's the, and I never get to be a guest on a show, so this is fun too. So the name of the question that I'll be answering, it's called, In a Beautiful Urn She Rests. And the question is, Dear Melissa, I have a question.
Are you there? Uh-oh. I think we lost her. I think we lost her. We're going to try to see if we can get Melissa back in the middle of that story. If we can't, then I guess we will do the next best thing and close out this long show that was only going to last an hour. But if we can't get her, I know that Melissa is in the Yucatan, and sometimes her connectivity has some problems. We've had that before. So in any event, so far, no luck. So anyway, we're still trying to get a hold of Melissa. Oh my goodness. We're trying, but I think we've lost her. I think we have lost her. Yes, we're not able to make a connection again. All right. Do we have her back? Nope. We don't. Yes, we do. So let's see if we can grab her. Melissa? Melissa, Melissa.
Hi.
We're back. Where did you go?
It's Mexico. It's Mexico.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Did you get any of that question?
No. We got
really?
Nothing. No, we lost the whole thing. And we were just hanging on, knowing where you were.
So it was called In a Beautiful Urn She Rests, and it says, Dear Melissa, I have a question. When a loved one passes and they are cremated, is it coincidence which family member's house the remains end up staying at? So I, out of my family, just ended up with my loved one's ashes in a beautiful urn that was created for her out of porcelain and hand-painted. But I'm curious if there is a particular reason if she / my family members that passed chose her to be at my home or in her urn for a reason.
Interesting.
Isn't that a great question?
It is a great question.
So, yeah.
We'll look forward to hear what your answer is.
I know. I'm like having a, yeah. So if there's a question, anything, like I said, it's completely anonymous and you just have to go over the website. But yeah, so it's, that was like the most interesting question I've ever seen.
That really is. That really is. Now, you know, I mean, I keep all my doggy ashes around me.
You know, I have mine too.
You know, they're all here.
No, and you know what? I mean, I don't know. I have my dogs too. I have one of my dogs too.
Yep. I have all three of them actually that I've had to, I've lost, yes. Yep. Yep, I do.
I don't know. Well, I think it's special. And I think that, you know, people ask all the time, too. It's like, how do you know when you should get rid of them or do you keep them? And I think it's a personal thing. You know, I think that if, you know, it's funny because my biological mother passed away and I had part of her ashes. And I actually, one day, it was like it was about 2 months ago. I was sitting there and all of a sudden I was like, you know what? We got to go throw her ashes in the ocean. And my husband's like, what do you mean? I was like, we got to go do it, like, right now. It was, like, so, like, the feeling of, like, we have to go do it right now. And we went out there, and I spread her ashes in the ocean, and that was it.
Closure.
So I think it's important to do stuff like that. And, you know, and paying attention to yourself.
And to your feelings, and, you know, at the time. I had a similar instance maybe I better not go into it. I may violate my family. I gotta be careful about that.
But you know, I still have my dogs though. And it's funny because we were talking about that because, you know, we're starting to like pack and get ready to make that drive back, you know, to the U.S. And so we were talking about it and sitting there and, you know, and it's like, he's like, are we taking my dog Deuce, you know, back with us? And I was like, yeah, I think we are. He's going back to the U.S. It just doesn't feel right. And that's why I feel like it's important. I it's like for all that stuff, I think it's so personal on what's good for you.
It is. And I think one of the things that I think you're honing in on right there is, how does it feel? And sometimes we get really bogged up with how we think. And, you know, as Virgos particularly. And, you know, we really have to, you know, spend a lot more time based on how we feel and react to how we feel, and don't let our thoughts get in the way of some of those feelings, because they are very precious and they really are the ones that are guiding us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is, it's, you know, just taking that time to look at yourself and look at the things and look at the thoughts and the feelings and, you know, whatever else comes up for you, and just looking at it and not being, you know, I think one of the greatest lessons that I've learned is, you know, not being attached to anything and not being attached to an outcome and just being a part of the experience. And
oh, and have we talked about that this year?
I know, because it's hard. It's hard because it's like going back to, like, you know, the labels, or wanting to have a label, or the understanding, or if I could just say this, then this would make sense. And, you know, the whole thing is it's like, not everything has a reason. Not everything, you know, it's like, I know people say all the time, you know, that's a whole other show, that everything happens for a reason, but not everything has a reason. Some things just happen, you know, and you can't say it's, you know, it's opening up a whole bag of worms if we talk about karma and all that stuff with me. But, you know, like karmic debt and past lives. And, you know, it's like I personally, if I had to sit there and say that I've come back to this life, like dealing with, you know, with all my past karmic debt and everything, and I am like screwed. You know, I mean, it's like... I mean, if I look at what I came in here, and to say that I chose to experience the amount of torture that I've, you know, whatever. I have different opinions and beliefs, but I can't, you know, it's like I choose not to make excuses for why things happen, instead of saying, okay, let me just look at the situation and see what's going on.
And accept it. And
accept it. And it's not always fun, and sometimes it really sucks.
That is the truth. I know, because you and I both, I think we talked a little bit about, you know, some friendships that kind of went south for us over the past year or so.
Yeah, there's
for no
been a
reason.
Lot.
For no reason. Or yeah, at least we don't know what the reason is, and no matter what our thought process is, we probably won't figure it out.
No, I don't know. I think there's a lot of purging. I mean, there's so many changes. I mean, as far as, you know, and this is what's funny is, I mean, now we can even talk about economics in the U.S. It's like now we're even thinking about looking at everything that's happening there. It's like, oh my God, do we really want to go back? You know, it's scary over there. But everything is a matter and a deal of perception, you know, and it's a matter of who you are and what you perceive and what you believe. And, you know, everything is so, it's like with the whole Bin Laden thing and him being captured and the people celebrating and dancing on the streets. And I'm going to be really opinionated, okay?
I probably agree with you, but we'll see.
Okay. So my opinion on that is too, it's like, you know, people are celebrating, and sure, is it, you know, is it healing to be able to celebrate to some degree? I mean, absolutely there is, but there's nothing different than people running around in the street screaming and throwing these huge parties for this one man's death, because it makes it no different than anything, or when somebody else from a different country kills one of our people, that they parade, you know, and drag the dead body in the street. It's no different, the behavior.
No, and the reality I agree with is, you.
And the reality is, with the one person that it took us 10 years to catch and kill, is all a perception, you know? I mean, it's all an idea. I mean, it took 10 years, and how many people had to die to supposedly catch this one person? And, you know, and the sad thing is it's like, you know, I think the biggest message is being your own truth. What feels right to you? What sits right for you? What do you believe? Don't believe what's being presented and showed to you, but what do you believe? And now we're talking politics.
I know, and I think I made a comment.
Should have never let us go over 30 more minutes. No, I'm
no.
Just joking.
Two.
Right.
I tend to agree with you. I don't think that it's right to celebrate death, in that manner of anyone, no matter what their you know, their background is. I mean, of course, I think I agree with everybody as far as, you know, I think it's a, I think it's a good thing, but mm-hmm. not celebratory in the same manner. And I tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
So, I think we probably need to close this session. That it seems to just be going on and on and on.
I know. I could just sit here and tell you everything that's coming up.
I know. And I'm just, it sounds really exciting. It really does, Melissa. And I can't wait to have you back in the States.
I know. Me too. I'll have reliable phone line service.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, you've been listening to Melissa Fry on Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. Her website is www.melissafrei.com. And thanks so much. We're going to have to make sure we don't spend a year apart. Because it sounds like you're going to have a lot of updates going on for a while to come. So we'll be in touch and we'll bring you back on here in a couple of months. How about that?
Perfect. And I just want to shout out to Minnesota.
Hey, there's something there. There's something there. I got to go check my caseload, see what I'm being guided for. We thank everybody who called in. We want to thank everybody who stayed with us. And I do want to announce we will be doing reruns the next 2 weeks. This one is going to be traveling for business, and we'll be out of town for the next two Tuesdays. So we'll be back, I guess, 2 weeks from today, live. This is Susan King. Thanks for joining us.
You have been listening to Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect with Susan E. King. Each week we will focus on the spiritual journey of connecting ourselves with our ancestors. Join us every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific right here on BBS Radio. For upcoming show information, you can visit Susan's website at www.susaneking.com.